Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Thank you very much, Carly, for that lead-in. As we come back here, Eddie Robinson has joined me in studio now, former Houston Dynamo defender, Major League Soccer All-Star, and also, probably least importantly, we're a team on Dynamo broadcasts, so we're pretty excited this year, the Dynamo on the Cube, an over-the-air station, which I think is going to boost some of the viewership, and I also think an attractive team will do that as well. Eddie, welcome into studio.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. All I've seen you is on Instagram posting all these, you know, the problem is I look at this Instagram post at you at like 10 o'clock at night, and it's like some amazing food, and now all of a sudden I'm hungry.
Last night it was a giant porterhouse.
Oh, man.
Cooked to medium rare. Oh, and it was tasty, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. You are an aficionado. I know you don't like the word foodie, but, I mean, they're going to call you that.
I'm okay with that. You've got it.
Yeah, you're a foodie. You're like me. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. I hope you liked that interview with Adebayo Akinfenwa. What did you think of it, Eddie? I just think this guy's a great guy. This guy didn't know me for beans. Comes on this show. There was something to be learned from that interview and how engaged he was and how upbeat he was.
He's the perfect example of what it means to not be an entitled superstar. You come on, you're thankful that somebody wants to talk to you. You're going to give them the most honest and best answer that you can give to every question. I absolutely love people like him. You should try to get him on once a month. It sounds like he'd do it.
Oh, he was amazing. It all started with my nephew, and he's the one who, because he was playing FIFA, found out about, quote, the world's strongest footballer in beast mode. And if you look at his body, anybody who's out there listening into the show tonight, if you look at his body, he looks like an NFL lineman. He looks almost out of place.
Listen, it'd be so easy to judge a book by its cover just by looking at him. But when you look at his mobility and his technical ability in a 90-minute game, you're kind of taken aback a little bit. And it just, for me, I think it's endearing. It makes you want to like the guy.
713-780-3776 is the number to call in if you want to join me and Eddie. You have something to say, you want to join in on the topics. And if you want to comment on the Adebayo Akinfenwa beast mode, world's strongest footballer interview. All right, let's start it off with a little bit of a Serbia, United States, Bruce Arena's first game back in charge. What jumps out to you in that game?
The average nature of the performance. I know people were saying this is probably a third string Serbian team, but you know, the two things that I was most interested in seeing how they worked out, most pessimistic about, was the Graham Zusi at right back. He's great going forward. He serves a great ball. But when he has to defend against a winger that's actually going to get at him and has got some pace, I don't think he's going to do well there. And then comes the Darlington Nagbe thing. Everyone is praising this guy that he's the next great superstar. But if you go back and you look at the last 2 years in Major League Soccer, when it comes to midfield to the attacking 18, that 35 to 40-yard gap, Darlington Nagbe's excellent. The build-up, the combination play, beating players 1v1. But when he gets in and around the 18, he's so disappointing. The finishing product is not there. It never has been. And when you look at his face and you see him miss a chance that he probably should have finished, he just looks like he doesn't care. Maybe that's his demeanor. But I just don't think he has the killer instinct, and I don't think he belongs there.
2013, he had 9 goals. But in 2016, he had 1 and 5 assists. The year before, he had 5 and 5. Do you think the media is trying to build him up to be something? Look, we all know he's a wonderful soccer player, aesthetically beautiful. He is a link-up player. I don't think there's any question. But I don't think he's an out-and-out future game changer of the U.S. national team, is he?
No, absolutely not. Unless he can find someone that he's going to assist 10 to 15 times a year, and that's in Major League Soccer. Forget about the national team for a minute. I don't think he deserves to be there. I don't think he's proven that he deserves to be a part of the United States national team because of the end product. He's an attacking player. He's supposed to be a creative playmaker. Yet he's not that on a week-in and week-out basis.
713-780-3776. Join Eddie and I. What about Sebastian Legette? I think he's going to be around for the long term in qualifying because I think Bruce Arena knows him very well from L.A.
Right.
And he is a guy that can pick a ball up, run past somebody, and really change a game out of midfield.
He's strong. He's confident. But I think he's inconsistent. If he can get consistency and every single weekend be that player, wow. Again, like, you know, we can go back to the Houston Dynamo fans, the Dwayne DeRosarios, the Brian Chings. Every single weekend, they're doing something, whether it's a goal, whether it's an assist, whether it's two goals. If Legette can get to that, then absolutely. But I think that's the thing that Bruce Arena has to focus on, is talking to him when he's not with the national team and getting his focus on being consistent. If he is, then yes, I agree with you.
All right, we'll take in your call, 713-780-3776. On the U.S. national team, Serbia, we would love to have your opinion on this. All right, so let's go through the team that we think at the end of March, forget about health issues, what the team would be. I would go in goal, Tim Howard.
Agreed.
Left back, Fabian Johnson.
Agreed.
Center back, John Brooks.
As long as he's healthy.
Same thing with Jeff Cameron.
Yes, correct.
Center back, Yedlin right back.
Yedlin's been in fantastic form lately, so hopefully we talk about consistency a minute ago. If he keeps that up, 100%.
Yeah, and I think Greg Garza and Graham Zuzi, I mean, I think you and I would probably agree that these were guys being looked at backups in those outside back positions. So Michael Bradley, we finally figured out that he should be the deep-lying midfielder, right?
I think so, because he reads the game so well and he's so aggressive and he plays his first pass so quickly, he doesn't dwell on the ball.
Jones in front of him.
Okay.
Yep. Pulisic out wide. Altidore up front. These are sort of stables. Now, what do we do with these next couple of choices? Who plays out wide? Legette, Bedoya. Is Kleshin play behind Altidore? What do we do with Bobby Wood? There's a lot of choices. Jordan Morris, who Bruce Arena said, I got to find a way to get him on the field.
Listen, with his strength and pace at running at players, if Bruce Arena can talk Seattle into saying, hey, if Clint's healthy now, we know he's been in preseason training now the last few days. There's been a video of him. If Clint Dempsey's back, can they find a spot for Jordan Morris on the wing and try to cultivate that? Because with his speed and his pace and he's fearless. He's similar to Pulisic. Maybe not quite as technically as good, but he loves taking players on. He loves running at guys. He loves getting in behind. And that kind of athleticism, serving the ball into Jozy Altidore, it's certainly something I would be looking at if I was Bruce Arena and calling Brian Schmetzer in Seattle and saying, hey, is there any chance? I'm not trying to force your hand, but is there any chance?
U.S. will take on Honduras March 24th. Huge game at San Jose Zelaya Stadium. And health is certainly something we're keeping an eye on with Jeff Cameron and Tim Howard. I don't think there's any question there. All right, I'm going to switch gears here to the Dynamo. The Dynamo posted what I thought was a really cool thing called The Slice. It's a video, kind of showed some preseason stuff. It was great work by all those who worked on it. I know Barb Manigault worked on it and a number of people, Ben. Mauro Manotas in there was quoted, and here's the quote. There's a different environment than what's been here the last 2 years. All the players are friendly. Everyone talks to each other. Last year, you could see some differences between certain players. This year, I think that the coaches and the staff have created a team that is very united. I believe that it's very important for a team to succeed. So, yeah, there's somebody speaking out a little bit, which I commend Manotas talking about that there were cliques on this team.
That's important. I was asked a little over a week ago what I thought the most important aspect of this preseason would be. What does Wilmer Cabrera need to get right? And my answer was chemistry. Because all of the new players that are coming in, and most of them are from Central America, they speak Spanish, and you've got a lot of English-speaking players in this locker room. So finding a chemistry between a group of guys that they can also communicate right. I know that the Dynamo have got a great relationship with the University of Houston downtown, and they've got the Hispanic players taking English lessons. I know they've offered Spanish lessons to the English-speaking players, so they're doing the right things. if they can get the chemistry right, and then when you look at the individual talents and you combine those into one collective unit, this could be very, very exciting. But I'm going to reserve my opinion. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to jump the gun. I want to be optimistic about this group of players, but we have to wait and see. Wilmer Cabrera, he's been touted as being able to bring groups together and bring players together. So if he can do that, this Dynamo team could be good.
Yeah, let's all remember what happened last year with the 11 goals in the first three games and all the craziness. And then, it, you know, it, players that have not been in Major League Soccer, that's part of it. They're going to need time. I think the first 10 games, you got to get through the early part of the season. Personalities are going to emerge, but there are winners on this roster, and that's winners, youth, pace. These are all positive things. A very definitive coach as well. We'll talk a little bit more about the shift towards the Hispanic side of things. Speaking of that, Albert Ellis is going to be our interview coming up. I'm going to get Eddie's reaction to this 7-minute interview when we come back. And a quick word here, as always now, for Liberty Kitchen. Just remind you that they do supper and brunch and lunch better than most. Modern American comfort food, best burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. It's farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claims on and owns. They own it. Big flavor served at a neighborhood social. They got great locations. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Gordon Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Get over there. Great gumbo with the blue crab. You have to get the blue crab in that. I do the gumbo for lunch sometimes or even after the show. Oysters on the half shell as well. Robust House smoked meats, grilled chops, and steaks. It is the Liberty Kitchen and Bar Munich. Get down to one of the great soccer-watching spots in Houston. Bar Munich, right down in Midtown, 2616 Louisiana. Go in there, say hello to Raymond. Bar Munich on Louisiana. Bar Munich, the Gorgeous Gale, Kings Court, Richmond Arms. They're all doing huge Super Bowl parties. So get down there, support them because they support your sport. Take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show live in studio. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. We've had Adebayo Akinfenwa on the show, Tim Holt of San Antonio in Major League Soccer. Just a quick word here. The Red Army and the Bayou City Blues. We're having a sportsman's dinner evening in June. I hope you're going to be able to go to this, Eddie. Norman Whiteside, who at 17 represented Northern Ireland in the World Cup, played for Manchester United. We're having a dinner, raffle, and auction. Tickets are $135, but the main thing here is this is all in support of the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org, and pediatric cancer support. So mark this June 16th. I'll get back to you with more information on where to get the tickets. But it is a dinner, raffle, and auction. It's going to be a great night. Tom Clare is really driving this thing for the Curing Children's Cancer Fund and Pediatric Cancer. It is the 21st. There's tons of tickets being sold. People are coming in from different parts of the country because they're Manchester United fans to hear Norman Whiteside. So Bobby Tambling of Chelsea also will be one of the featured speakers. All right, so Eddie, I'm going to roll this Albert Ellis interview from Monterey. This is a player that I think this year is going to do big things here in Houston. Let's roll this interview, and then let's get your reaction after it. Here we go. Translating here, too, I got to remind you, is Hector Castletort, who is with the Houston Dynamo. I thank Hector as well.
So just the first question, when he heard the news that he was coming from Monterrey to Houston in Major League Soccer, what were his thoughts?
La primera pregunta es, cuando escuchaste que venías de Monterrey a Houston, ¿qué fue lo que sentiste? ¿Cómo te sentiste y cómo te enteraste?
No, por ahí el equipo me lo comunica que está la posibilidad de venir aquí al Monterrey, pues lo pensamos y pues creo que era una buena opción y por eso ahora estamos aquí.
Monterrey told me that there was an option of coming here and I thought it was a good idea, so you know, that's why we came.
How much does he know about Major League Soccer and the way the game's played here in the United States?
¿Qué tanto sabes acerca de la MLS y de la manera en la que se juegan los partidos aquí en Estados Unidos?
No, sabemos que es una liga que ha venido creciendo, sabemos que es un fútbol bastante táctico, rápido, fuerte, y pues trataremos de adaptarnos lo más rápido posible, ¿no?
We know that it's a strong league. It's a league that's been growing. It's really tactical, and we're doing our best to adapt as fast as we can.
Albert Elise joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. As we move on here, how much has he talked about his role this year, the type of role he'll play for the Dynamo under Wilmer Cabrera?
Has hablado con el coach? ¿Sabes cuál va a ser tu rol en el equipo? ¿Sabes qué es lo que te espera estando aquí?
Sí, claro. El profe me ha dicho que haga lo que sea hacer, ¿no? Que trate de jugar por la banda, de encarar, de buscar el gol, de tratar de dar asistencia, y pues eso es lo que yo sé hacer, ¿no?
Yeah, I mean, he's been telling me to do what I know how to do best, which is, you know, play on the sides and do what I know best. That's what coach has been telling me.
What's his favorite thing to do on a football field? Is it taking people on off the dribble? Is it providing the pass? What is his favorite thing to do outside of scoring goals?
Aparte de meter goles, ¿qué es lo que más te gusta hacer en el campo? ¿Te gusta burlar jugadores, hacer los sprints? ¿Qué es lo que más te gusta hacer en el campo?
No, me gusta tratar de encarar por la banda, tratar de meterme hacia adentro, pues tratar de dar asistencia, y pues ese es mi fuerte, ¿no? Siempre tratar de estar 1-1 y tratar de ganar mano a mano.
I always try to, you know, beat the opponent, dribble him, run on the sides, give the assist, and those are my fortes, so that's what I like to do.
For Albert, how much of soccer also is more than just winning and losing? It is about entertaining and playing the game in a way that it's visually exciting for the fan.
Para ti, para Albert, que aparte de ganar y perder, el soccer también es para entretener, para hacer cosas que pocos pueden hacer. ¿Qué es el fútbol para ti?
No, pues creo que es una alegría, podemos decir, pues uno se divierte dentro del campo y es algo que le gusta, entonces creo que es algo lindo jugar fútbol.
It's something beautiful to play soccer. It's just a joy to be on the field and do what you know how to do, and it's pretty amazing to be able to do that stuff.
Albert Elise joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters, one of the new Dynamo signings from Honduras. Speaking of Honduras, who were his biggest influences in Honduras growing up in the game?
Yeah. Albert, siendo de Honduras, ¿cuáles fueron tus grandes figuras, tus ídolos cuando estabas creciendo del fútbol hondureño?
No, pues siempre de pequeño miré a Suazo, a Carlos Pavón, creo que muy buenos delanteros, y uno trata de seguir sus pasos.
Since I was a kid, I always saw David Suazo and Carlos Pavón, and you know they were great strikers, and you know you always try to follow in their footsteps.
About Major League Soccer, the travel and all of that, does he see that causing any possibilities of a problem? The amount of travel that this league has, the differing surfaces mm-hmm. that the league plays on.
¿Ves como algún tipo de problema todos los viajes que se van a hacer en esta liga? Es una liga en la que viajas por todo el país, donde hay distintos campos, distintos tipos de juego. ¿Tú cómo te preparas para eso?
No, creo que eso no es problema. Creo que en México era igual. Siempre nos tocaba viajar de ciudad en ciudad, y pues eso no es problema. Lo que queremos es jugar y tratar de ganar y hacer las cosas bien.
You know, traveling shouldn't be a problem. That's what we did in Mexico. We will travel from city to city, and you know, what we want is to play and do things well.
Is he enjoying the city of Houston? Does he like the city of Houston? I know he's only been here a short amount of time.
¿Te gusta la ciudad de Houston? Sabemos que has estado aquí poco tiempo, pero ¿te gusta Houston?
Sí, una bonita ciudad. Creo que no he terminado de conocerla. La he conocido poco, y pues trataremos de conocerla cada día más.
It's a beautiful city. I haven't known it fully, but I will, you know, as time progresses, we're going to try to get to know it as best as we can.
Does he realize there's 300,000 Hondurans here in Houston, and that it himself, Boniac Garcia, Romel Quioto, all could be players that really could reach into that community and really make them fans of the Houston Dynamo?
¿Estás consciente de la gran comunidad hondureña que vive aquí, cerca de 300,000 habitantes? ¿Estás consciente de eso, la responsabilidad que jugadores como tú, Boniac, Rommel tienen para acercar a esos fans al estadio?
Sí, claro, esas fueron una de las cosas que me motivó venir al equipo, saber que hay bastante afición hondureña, pues sabemos que van a estar apoyando, pero al igual nos van a pedir que hagamos las cosas bien, que anotemos goles, que hagamos buenas jugadas, y eso es lo que vamos a hacer, si primeramente Dios.
You know, I was aware of it. That's one of the reasons that I decided to come to Houston, because of, you know, how many Hondurans were here. But I know that, yes, they're going to come and support us, but at the same time, they're going to request from us to do our best. They're going to ask us to do what we can to be the best team out there.
Thanks, Albert, and thanks to you also. We appreciate all your time, and Hector, thank you for translating.
Muchas gracias por tu tiempo, y muchas gracias por estar aquí. Thank you.
All right, so that was the interview with Albert Ellis. He's expected to do big things for the Dynamo. He's not brought here to be a squad player. He's brought here to make a difference. 20 years of age, you say, Glenn, why is he on loan here? Because he's playing behind a number of internationals at Monterrey, which is one of the best teams in Mexico. It may be the best soccer city in this part of the world. What'd you take from that interview, Eddie? I know it was a bit of a soft interview.
Well, a little bit, that he's still getting settled. He hasn't been here very long. And for anyone that's had to relocate, not just from one city to another, let's say Houston to Denver, Denver to Atlanta, he's going to a different country. And this country is not a Spanish-speaking country, although Houston has a ton of Spanish-speaking people, which I think will really help him integrate faster and feel comfortable. And I know soccer players around the world, and in years past, when I was still playing, players had to go overseas. They thought it was going to be best for them, and they would go to Scandinavia. They would go to lower divisions in Spain or Germany. And they and their families hated it because they didn't understand the language. They couldn't get what they want as far as food, as far as entertainment. I think the fact that Houston is so multicultural, it's going to really help him to assimilate and get comfortable. And the sooner he gets comfortable, the better he'll be. Second, you asked him what Wilmer Cabrera has asked of him as a player for this team. Stay wide, take players on, do what you do best. So, you know, you're hoping that maybe this gives us a little insight as to what Wilmer Cabrera is going to do, because he hasn't tipped his hand yet. Is he going to go with a 4-4-2, 4-1-4-1, 4-2-3-1? What's 4-3-3? It's going to be interesting to see, but he did have quite a bit of confidence in that answer. So I would be surprised if he wasn't starting the first game of the season. So not a lot to take, but there was a little bit there.
Yeah, and Wilmer's been pretty clear that it's a 4-3-3 for the moment. And that doesn't mean that can't change by any means, but I think it's a 4-3-3. Now, if it is a 4-3-3 and Kyoto and Ellis are flanking Manotas or Kubo, and I would think Manotas has got, you know, the inside track based on what he did last year. It doesn't matter, though. Preseason, you could, you know, overturn him potentially, but Is there enough from the category of distribution and midfield out of these midfielders? Alex, Escalante, Alexander, Cabezas, Clark, Wenger, Boniac, Garcia, Holland, Lucatero.
I think a little bit remains to be seen with Cabezas. I think everyone else, you know what you're going to get. I really hope the Dynamo and specifically Wilmer Cabrera take a better approach to their younger players, especially Christian Lucatero. I felt like he was thrown into the deep end of the pool without being taught how to swim last year. He was a kid that was on his own in a different city, doesn't know how to cook, doesn't know how to do laundry, doesn't know how to shop for groceries. I hope they take a little bit better care of him this year with Wilmer Cabrera being involved. I think with the rest of them, you know what you get. You don't have that number 10 that can maybe real quickly receive a ball and one and two touches, put an Ellis in behind, put a Kyoto in behind, put an Andrew Wenger in behind the defense to get service into the box to Manotas and Kubo Torres, who I will say, if anyone hasn't been out to training yet, Kubo's lost some weight. The kid is fit, which means to me, he's hungry. So I think this preseason could be entertaining. So if you see the Dynamo streaming some of these preseason games, watch them.
Well, look, you got great competition at the forward position as well with Elias, Manotas, Torres, Kyoto. And I didn't mention Vicente Sanchez, but he's going to probably be a late sub off the bench in games. It's interesting with that midfield. And I think it's going to be tough for Christian Lucatero to get playing time.
It will be.
Look at the names we just mentioned. Wenger, Boniac, Garcia, Holland, Cabezas, Clark, Alexander, and Alex.
Here's the thing. Come into the season with a plan. okay, Christian Lucatero is going to train with the first team every week. By the end of the season, let's say Christian Lucatero should have 400 minutes of league football, of MLS games. He should have two starts in the U.S. Open Cup. He should have so many days in the weight room. And you plan this out. And by the end of the season, if he's met all of those goals that you set for him, and he's not a better player than he was when the season started, you sit down and you say, no, our goal coming into the season wasn't to start Christian Lucatero in Major League Soccer games, in league games, but to get him minutes, get him involved, get him learning the situation. Because at his age, if you take him along and develop him the right way and get him involved, the kid, I was lucky enough to coach him. And a lot of people haven't been out around him in the capacity that I have. The qualities that he has and the things that I've seen from him are unlike anything I've ever seen from a kid his age, and you need to cultivate.
He's talented. There's any question. He's got some immense skill and talent, but the bottom line is what happens in the next couple of years is going to determine where his career goes, and he's got to play at RGV as well. I don't think there's any question. He's got to get games. He needs to play. He didn't get enough of them last year, and there's maybe reasons for that too, but it's the way it works. And let me tell you, this kid from Hofstra, Joe Holland, this kid is a machine fitness-wise. He has three lungs. So if I even compare him to Lucatero, I'm going, okay, who's going to balance off better in Major League Soccer?
Well,
these are the questions that are tough for guys like you and me to determine because we're not at practice every day. But we'll have our say, that's for sure. We're going to come back. We got more to talk about. Well, we come back. Let's talk, Eddie, a little bit about sports and politics because I'm just I think they're two separate categories. Yeah. As somebody who's in sports, yeah. I don't want my sports experience tarnished by people's political views. We'll do a little chat about that. 713-780-3776 is the number to call. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, their personal injury attorneys are going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Whether your car is your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, planner, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. We'll take a 7-up break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. This will be, I believe, our last segment, Mr. Tyler Scott. Yes, sir. Spinning some good music tonight. Hopefully, we'll be down at that Gary Clark Jr. ZZ Top concert on Saturday night.
I'm hoping so. Well, yeah. I'll be there regardless.
Well, I'm going to be there regardless, too. You're not the only guy who can put that claim out there.
I know. Well, we're just hoping to hear back from someone.
Yes. All right. So we talk sports and politics. Okay. So I'm a real firm believer, Eddie, that, you know, when Colin Kaepernick takes the knee, when Megan Rapinoe takes the knee, you have the right to your own opinion, and I totally honor that and respect that. I do not think it should be done on the platform of professional sports events where people who work very, very hard go to get away from all this politicizing that is so all over the place now. Michael Bradley just came out with some strong comments. The only difference there is, though, Michael Bradley was asked this question in an interview.
Well, here's my problem. Grant Wall is a sports reporter. He's not a political reporter. He doesn't work for CNN. He doesn't work for Fox News. He works for ESPN. He works for Sports Illustrated. He works for Fox Sports at times. He's a sports person. When you interview an athlete in a sports arena, ask them sports questions. If Michael Bradley goes on CNN, goes on Meets the Press, and they ask him political questions, then I'm okay with that because that's a political arena. But I'm disappointed in Grant Wall for doing that, number one. Number two, I'm disappointed in Michael Bradley for speaking on behalf of his teammates. Because I guarantee you there are guys in that locker room that disagree with what he had to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. But you as well as I know that people cross the line nowadays when asking questions. Because, look, this is all about clicks, hits, attention.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's shameless.
Know, I mean, look,
shameless.
And again, I do some of it for this show because I want people to know where it is. I don't go into the political vein or the religious vein ever. That's an off base for me.
Yeah. I can guarantee you right now that Grant Wall couldn't have been happier that Michael Bradley was against Trump's travel ban. Because if Michael Bradley would have said, yes, I agree with this, I think it's good for the safety of America, Grant Wall would have buried it. He wouldn't have put it out there. That's my own personal opinion. Now, like you said a minute ago, I respect it. If you disagree with me, I'm not going to tell you you're stupid and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. All I'm going to say is I disagree with you. Here's why. I'm going to present you my facts. You present yours. At the end of the day, I'm still going to respect you. But when you put it out there to try to get more hits, more Twitter mentions, more on Instagram, I'm not for it. And when a sports person interviews an athlete in a sports arena, it should be about sports. If a political persona interviews a sports athlete in a political arena, I have no problem with them asking political questions.
But look how many people have been trying to get Tom Brady to bite on his support of the current president.
Well, it's sad.
And those are sports reporters.
It's sad.
But I think it's the Wild West. I think you can do whatever you want. I mean, I think that's pretty evident by what we see on television. I mean, talk about being in the bag, everybody. My God.
It's sad. Whatever. You believe what you want to believe. But when it's sports, talk about sports. When it's politics, talk about your politics. Yeah, but don't mix the two for me. That's my personal opinion. Disagree with me all you want. That's my opinion. You disagree with me. I respect that you disagree with me.
The right environment, I think, is what you're saying. And if I go and pay a ticket for an NFL game, I don't want to see people making statements politically.
No.
I'm there to escape. It's escapism. This radio show, I hope, provides some escapism for people.
We just ruined that, didn't we?
We did. We totally did. It's not my area.
Well, let's talk. Well, then let's get rid of that. Let's talk about Man United today. What about that?
Well, Manchester United couldn't get it done against Hull. 0-0 draw.
Wow.
No, I want to take you in another direction
here, real quick,
because I want to get back to something that I think should have occurred a number of years ago, and that is shifting the Dynamo into a more Hispanic team in this market. That's diverse, and I know. Look, I know there were people very strong in their feelings about the direction of where this club could go. I think this was a no-brainer. I think you had to make this move because we're never going to know if the city's attention from the Hispanic base of fans can ever be a part of the future of soccer here. And I think it has to be. We have to tap into that passion.
Listen, unless it's Giovanni Dos Santos or Chicharito, I don't think that these Hispanic players are going to have that big of an impact on attendance. What I think that matters, and this is going back.
I'm
going
to disagree when you're done.
Okay, but from day one, I look at, from when we moved here in 2006, I look at our supporters groups. Majority was Hispanic. They didn't care that very few players on our team when we came here. We had Alejandro Moreno. We had Ronald Cerritos. We're the only Hispanic players. There were a few others, but those were the only really prominent ones. Our fans didn't care. The majority of the Hispanic fans didn't care. We were winning.
Correct.
They had a team they could support, they could get behind. We didn't get mad that half
the
songs
they were
singing. Well,
they thought Duane de Rosario was Hispanic.
I don't think Duane
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So listen to me. Here's the thing, though. In the translation from going to Robertson to BBVA Compass Stadium, and I said this repeatedly on the radio show, you can't lose the things that attracted people to that. And I think that was lost
in
translation.
The winning culture.
Well, not only the winning. Yes, of course, the winning culture. But I think you lost the Hispanics in the trip across town because it became a little bit too corporate slick. Now I see the Dynamo doing a lot of things that is endearing themselves more. Look, there's 300,000 Hondurans here. These guys are national heroes in their country. Boniac Garcia. These guys can be marketed. It's up to the Dynamo now to have a plan and a vision to get these guys marketed, get them into those communities, and you can reap serious benefits.
Well, we've been saying this for years since Boniac Garcia came. Yeah. He really hasn't had that big of an effect. And yes, you can blame it on how hard he's been marketed in those communities. But I go back to things that I've said in the past, whether they're Panamanian, whether they're Costa Rican, whether they're Mexican. These people grew up in a culture where their parents, their cousins, their brothers, their uncles, their grandparents all rooted for one club, and they built a culture within their family. And that's what the Dynamo have to start doing. They have to start getting after the younger kids and start building the culture, that family
they
culture.
They have the perfect avenue to do that through the academy, which is full of Hispanic kids. But here's the other thing. Correct. And I think this is where I say it's on the Dynamo a little bit, because look, you can't just put these guys on the field and expect people to come. The Hispanic community is different. They need to be massaged. They need to be extended the olive branch. You have to identify the key leaders. Look, if we ever got a Nigerian player, guess what? It's about 70,000 to 90,000 Nigerians in Houston. There's huge communities here that can be tapped into, and they have to almost be looked at in a localized way. But they've got people and players now to market this year. I think it's going to be entertaining. They got a shot, and it can happen. Atlanta against New England. Who wins?
I'm rooting for Atlanta. I honestly think that Brady is just – he's too good. But I'm going to root for Atlanta. I think it'd mean a lot to those people. I saw a stat on ESPN the other day. I'll give them some credit since we're on ESPN radio. Between the Braves, the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA, and the Atlanta Falcons – the combined 150 seasons, their last 150 seasons, there's been one championship. That was the Atlanta Braves in 94, I believe. So Atlanta needs this. Atlanta wants this. I'm pulling for Atlanta.
All right.
But I think New England will win.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to stop Brady and Belichick in this environment. Yeah. What do I know, right? What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, you know what else? Both owners. MLS teams.
Oh, beautiful.
Arthur Blank? Well, Arthur Blank and...
After Atlanta won their conference championship, Arthur Blank was wearing a suit, dancing on stage with an Atlanta United pin on his lapel.
Life is good. Brilliant. We're going to call it a night now. Get over to Facebook Soccer Matters. PodcastArena.com is where you get the podcasts. My thanks to Tyler Scott, as always. And this morning, Michael Carroll, for helping me get the interview done with Adebayo Akinfenwa. And my thanks for my friend Eddie Robinson for being in studio here tonight. We thank you for listening. And please get over to podcastarena.com. Support your game. Good night.
To ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.